You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Monday. Thanks for joining us. Fasten your seatbelts for the next 30 minutes. We're going to be in the book of Revelation. Exciting chapter here, chapter 12. We're going to see Satan here thrown out of heaven. This is the second part of the sermon that just started on Friday, and Revelation chapter 12. If you would like a copy of this, you can either go to the on-demand section of this radio station, or you can email me, elected77@gmail.com. I will send you the MP3, the link to this. The video is uploaded, I'm sure, at the Island Community Church YouTube page, Revelation chapter 12. Maybe it's entitled Satan Thrown Out of Heaven. That's where we're at. This is part two. We're also going to discover today how to overcome. How do you, if you find yourself alive at this time and you're still on the earth, how do you overcome the devil at the end of the age? We're going to address that question as well.
Also, this sheds new light on Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. I finally understand, at least I think I do this morning, where it says the sign of the sun, the moon, and it says that the stars will fall from heaven. And I always wondered, you know, how can that be? How can these stars a billion miles away fall on the earth? You see, maybe this is what he meant by that. The sun, the moon, and the stars, Jesus said, is a sign for you to know that his return is near. And the stars fallen maybe is not the stars of the sky, but it's this event that we're looking at right here. Verse 10. But again, first of all, look at what the devil does. In verse 9, it says he deceives the whole world. Now remember Pastor Paul's definition of being deceived. It's to think that something is something while something is actually something else. He deceives the whole world. People are going to be deceived to doing what they're going to do here at the end of the age. They're not going to do it just willy-nilly. They're going to be deceived to do it. People are going to be deceived to take the mark of the beast. They're going to think that something is something. Remember, the man of sin, which we're going to read next week, is that he sits. He doesn't sit as Yogi Bear. He sits as God. The Antichrist sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man is going to get up and say to people, I am God. And John says, he deceives those that dwell on the earth. That is good-natured people like your son or your daughter or your co-worker or your aunt or uncle or your friend and associate. Those that are going to have the unfortunate experience of being around to witness this, they're going to be deceived into doing what they're doing. Chilly. Now, verse 10. Revelation 13:8 also told us, it says, all who dwell on the earth, think about that. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. That's Antichrist, not Jesus. We're talking about the man of sin. All who dwell on the earth, that is all your friends that don't give a rip about religion, all of the smirkers and agnosticators and the fools out there that say, oh, religion is just a crutch for weak people. All that dwell on the earth will worship him, comma, thank God, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I just want you to see there's no option three here. There's no option three. You can't say, you can't abstain from this at the end of the age. Either you bow the knee and call him Lord, or you'll be deceived into falling for this. Not maybe willingly, you will be deceived. You're going to think that something is something, and something, oh boy, is actually something else. Taking the mark because the government told you that you need this in order to buy is you being deceived. So you say, what am I supposed to do? Remember that revelation God gave us? To him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna to eat, which no one knows about. You got to get out of the boat, walk with God, get out of the boat, take that step. Once you do, here comes the porterhouse steak. Or for all you vegans, here comes the almond milk. Verse 10, what I'm trying to say, trust God when you're going through adversity. That's simple to understand, right? Don't believe the government. Don't believe the government. Danny, are we going to air this on the radio this week? Don't believe the government. Trust God. Do not be deceived. Let's try this third time. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So have you ever wondered what Satan does in his spare time? Bowling, perhaps? Maybe darts? Maybe a dinner and a show? Nope. The Bible says that Satan in his spare time accuses you before God. And when, guess what? When he accuses you, you guys have heard me say this before. When Satan accuses you, guess what? He doesn't need to lie. He doesn't need to lie. Because you are a sinner. Now, granted, you're a saved sinner, but you still... Am I the only one here that has sinned this last week? Am I alone? When Satan accuses you before God and calls you a sinner, there's no need to lie. And that's the worst upset stomach at all and guilt trip of all, when the devil doesn't have to lie about me. How can I overcome the truths of the devil when he reminds God that Paul Esposito is a sinner because he's right? Oh no, Satan's right about me. He's right. He's right. Of all the times, only time in his life he's right, and he's got to be right now. He's got to be right now when he's talking to God about my sins. What did they say in the book of Acts? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh no, Satan's right. What shall I do? Satan's right about me. I did sin last Tuesday. What am I to do? Now, praise God, he gives us the... You see, we can do something. That's not the end of the story. There's more to this story. Now, without Jesus, that is the end of the story. Because the Lord Jesus said in John 3:17, he who does not believe is condemned already. But that's not the end of the story for us. We overcome the devil and the truth that I have sinned against the holy and righteous God by these three things. Verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We've been singing all about blood this morning. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So, three things. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Understand a symbol, you'll understand the book. When we see up in heaven a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, well, John the Baptist tells you what that is in John chapter 1, verse 17. When the Lord Jesus walked in front of him, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. We know who the Lamb is. The Lamb is the Son of God. So, three things. How do you overcome Satan when Satan tells God the truth about you? Number one, the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says, speaking of Christ, Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14, I think these are on the handout, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What can wash away my sin? End of sentence. Funny, blood is the only stain that you really can't get out of your... You know, Carol always makes me change my white shirt when we go out to eat pasta. Because I ain't preaching in that shirt no more if I go out to eat with that shirt, right? Every time, because you can't get it out. How ironic, isn't it, that the blood is the only thing that can get out? The blood is the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood. There's something in the blood. You just can't see it. There's power in the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, without the, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Blood is required for your sin, either your own or somebody else's. Blood is required for your sins. You overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The devil might indeed speak the truth about my sin, but that's not the end of the story. I do stand before God guilty as a sinner, but that's not the end of the story. There's more to the story here than meets the eye. We read, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. When you receive the blood of Christ and receive Jesus Christ, God, the Bible says, your sin and lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's why we say there's power in the blood. The blood is so powerful, it can cause Almighty God to have amnesia with your sins. Now that's good news. Thank God he has amnesia with my sins. See, I know the devil. See, that's not the end of the story. All right, you can accuse me of that, but devil, I'm going to remind you of what he did. That's the answer. All right, I'm a sinner. But better yet, he is a savior, and he's my savior. And he died for me, took my place, died in my place, shed his blood, and his blood obliterates Paul Esposito's sins and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. He did the work. All you have to do is embrace it and receive it. Simple. It's a simple message. It's a simple message. There's a war that's going on we see up in heaven. So, the blood of the Lamb. Again, God requires blood to atone for sins. That's what he has declared. And your blood doesn't suffice. Your blood or the blood of an animal or a sacrifice, the King James says he winked at. I think it's Acts chapter 17, where it says he winked at the sins that were previously committed because the time was coming. Someone had to pay the cost. Someone had to pay the price. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it said, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Only untainted blood from a man, only untainted blood from a man can take away a man's sins. Hence the Lord's favorite name for himself, the Son of Man. That was his favorite name. He used that more than anything, the Son of Man. How to overcome the enemy? The blood of the Lamb. Number two, the word of your testimony. The word of your testimony. Now remember, testimony, think of yourself in a courtroom, right? You're going to put your hand on a stack of Bibles. You're going to raise your other hand. And you are going to give a testimony that is, you're an eyewitness to something. You are an eyewitness to what he did for you. It's your testimony. What do you have to declare? And that's how you overcome the devil. You put your hand down, I'll put another hand up, and I'm going to declare, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And not only that, because he is, whether or not I believe it or not. He's this old boy's Lord. And that will chase any roach away from you. This is the word or the message that you have to declare. And that is, devil, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Back, no turning back. That is how you overcome the devil in your life. By the blood, that is, your sins have been atoned for. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, the word of your testimony. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I better believe it. It's true whether or not I believe it or not. But it's my testimony. It's my testimony. And number three, we love Jesus more than we love ourselves. We love Jesus. We love Jesus more than we love ourselves. Jesus himself said in John 12:25, whoever loves his life shall lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now that's a hard saying there. God wants you to pass this test. I call it the John 12:25 test. God wants you to pass this test. And that is why he makes your life difficult today. In order for you to trust him when you face trials in your life. This is why trials come to you, so that you will pass this test. The other ones, you don't got to worry about the first. He did the first. The second is on yours, the word of your testimony, but this falls on you. And you need to learn and trust that God's got your back. God is for you. And this is why you are encouraged to rejoice when it happens to you, because God is at work and God does have your back. Church, God is for you. God is for you today. Call me a cheerleader if you want. I'm going to keep on cheering you guys. To grasp the knowledge that God is for you. And Paul says that if God is for you, it doesn't matter. No created thing can be against you when God is on your side. Nothing. God is at work. The Bible says this, James 1:2. I know this is difficult to do, but you got to grasp it nevertheless. He says, out of the NIV, he says, consider it pure joy. My brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith, listen to me, the testing of your faith develops endurance. This is something that gets developed in you when you learn to trust in God when you're going through adversity and trial in your life. You only get this through abiding under. That's what the word hupo means, under. Meno means to abide. Like when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many menos, dwelling places, to dwell, to abide under. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Trust in God to see you through the trials that you are going through in your life. And then, if you're around when this happens, you'll be able to endure this. You'll be able to endure this. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. We've seen people throughout the ages that this happened to them. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. Read the people that said, all right, you give him up or die. You got to have this on the inside of you to get through that. These people learned to trust in God when they were going through adversity, just like David did. This is why the Bible tells you to count it as joy when it happens. Because God is building you into a spiritual giant. So this osmosis produces the end result that takes no prisoners. It takes no prisoners. I believe it's Psalm 56. Let me show you some of David's. I don't need this. It says, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me. Do you trust God like that? It's just as true for David as it is for you. When and then. It's a classic case. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me. I encourage you. Trust God like that. Trust God like that. So how do we overcome Satan? And not just at the end of the age, but right in the here and now. Number one, the blood of the Lamb of God. That is, your sins have been atoned for. You got to have your sins atoned for. Otherwise, again, he says, you stand condemned without your sins atoned for. Number two, the word of your testimony. That is, you tell the devil the way that it is. No other way around it. You tell the devil the way that it is. My Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting in him to get me through this. Our God is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. But if not, they said, we still won't bow a knee to you. Do you trust God like that? The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and trusting God with your soul. Even when you were in a grave, life-threatening peril. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. Or let's change that to madder than a hornet. The devil has come down to you, and he's madder than a hornet, because he knows that he has a short time. In other words, read it and weep, devil, because you are toast. And he knows it. The time is coming, and guess what? You know it too. The next time Satan tries to accuse you and remind you of your past, I encourage you to remind him of his future. You're toast, devil. You ain't nothing but toast. And I know the greatest trivia question of all, devil. You're one of the first three contestants in the lake of fire. Read it and wait, because it's right here in my book. Now, here's the rest of this chapter 12. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he persecuted the woman. So he persecuted Israel, who had given birth to the male child. So this is about Satan and Israel. Not the church, Satan and Israel. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, this is a time of Jacob. So remember, we learn who Jacob is. This is a time of Israel's trouble, not the church. Verse 14, then the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. There's that number again, 3.5 years. Verse 15, then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman, sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and he went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about the Lord Jesus. So again, this fight appears to be between Satan and Israel. Don't substitute the church for the woman. This is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, this is Satan's last-ditch attempt to destroy Israel. So you look around, you look at people here today, you can see whose side that they're on when you hate Israel like this. But my question to you is this morning, are you prepared to overcome in the same way as these did here in Revelation chapter 12? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and number three, you did not love your life more than you love Jesus. This third one, again, is on you. Are you there yet? How to? How do you do this? How do I do this? Answer, submit to God when you're undergoing trials in your life. Understand that God is at work. He's like hanging one of those big yellow signs on you. Instead of men, you cross off men and you put G-O-D. Hang it around your neck. God at work in you. Now, back to this handout here. Everyone's got this handout. I can see now how the first and greatest commandment can save you. Remember, they asked the Lord, right? What is the first and greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And now I finally understand. If you fail that at the end of the age, you'll never make it. I never knew that before today or this week preparing for this. If you fail that, you won't survive. You just can't do it. If you fail number three during this great tribulation, you'll not make it. Satan says this. He says, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. So the devil will say, Jesus or me? And the devil will say, choose him and die. But church, that's a lie. Choose him and live. Let's pray.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.